We're doing Seder HaDorot. We're up to Avram, and the year is 1973. Avram married Sarah when he was 25 years old. So this is interesting, because technically in the Torah, we don't hear anything about Avram and Sarah before they're 70 years old, before Avram is 70 and she's 60. And some of the commentaries point that out, that we don't know where they met. Rav Herschel Schechter likes to say in his shir, maybe they met at a New Year's Eve party. We don't know, because they weren't yet Jewish, so it's not relevant to the Torah. So the Torah doesn't tell us about it. Family reunion. The Medrash says in Lech Lecha, the Yalkut in Lech Lecha and Tana de Be'elio, that Avram and Sarah were barren for 75 years. So right, there's a medrash like that. Now remember, so according to that, that means they were married for 75 years. Avram ben me'at shana vivaled lo Yitzhak beno. Avram was 100 when he had Yitzchak, so that means he got married when he was 25, and Sarah was how old?
15,
right? Perfect age for marriage. So the over there, the commentary on the medrash, on the Yalkut, points out the Zait Ranan, that's the Magen Avram, he wrote a commentary on the Yalkut Shimoni, that you do the math. Turns out that they got married at 25. And then there's a commentary called Zikukin Dinura, literally meaning the sparks of fire, that he writes in the name of Samach Reish Dalid. I don't know who that is. Samach Reish Dalid. Don't tell us back here either. I don't know who that is. He has a different version in the Medrash that says they were barren for 76 years. So they got married when they were 24. He brings another source that seems to indicate that he was 50 when he married Sarah, and then they were barren for 50 years. Okay. Now, Nimrod was sitting comfortably on the throne, and he ruled the planet, and everyone spoke the same language, and they were unified in the same plans. And Nimrod's officers, his top men, were named Put and Mitzrayim and Canaan. They each were fathers of big families. And they said, let's build a city, and in the center of the city we'll have a tower. And that tower will be strongly fortified. It will reach the heavens. And we'll make for ourselves a shame. He doesn't define the word shame. The word shame very often means an idol, but he doesn't say what it means. He's quoting a pasuk, and now say lanu shame, so that we will rule the whole world, and our enemies will cease to harm us, and we'll rule them with force. So the king agreed, and they gathered 600,000 men, and they scouted out until they found a valley out in the Shinar in Babylon. And that valley was wide enough that it took 2 years to traverse it. So, big valley. It's pretty big, okay? So they all traveled there, and they started to make bricks, and they rebelled against Hashem, and they thought to fight Hashem, to go up to the heavens, and divide the heavens three ways. And they were divided three ways. One said, let's go up to the heaven and fight God. The other one said, let's go up to the heavens. We'll establish our God there and serve him there. And the third said, we'll go up to the heaven and we'll kill God. Three different plans what they're going to do up there. So they built this huge city with a huge tower in the center, powerful tower. And it would take a year to get the mortar and the bricks up that tower. It was so high. And as they'd go up and down to bring up the material to continue building, so if if a brick would fall, they'd sit and they'd cry. But if a person would fall, so no one would bother taking note. So, okay, another person fell. But the bricks, they were all focused on the gold. And this is a very deep meaning. Meaning, if they'd write this as a short story, then it would be mandatory teaching in high schools, and all the teachers would talk about what does that mean, how focused people can be on a goal, that sometimes the value of human life goes down, the balance between the importance of working for the klal, for the general populace, versus the importance of the individual and the importance of human life. Meaning this one line in the Medrash really has a whole philosophy within it.
I have another example like that too, with like during the second Beit HaMikdash period, no one would...
Right, beautiful. Right, right.
I assume that there would also be sad about the person, because he was one more person to bring up bricks.
Right. So obviously the Medrash is trying to drive home a point. So they started shooting arrows into the heaven, and the arrows fell filled with blood. So they said, look, we killed out everything that's in heaven, because Hashem decided to let them... To fool them a little bit. So they continued building, and they're building for years. And Hashem said to the 70 angels that were standing before him, and he said, let's go down there and confuse their languages. Let's mix up their languages. And from that day onward, they stopped talking the same language, and one person would pass another person some mortar or a stone, and the other guy would say, but that's not what I asked you for. And he'd throw it against back at him. And so they started having infighting. This one didn't understand that one. And so they started killing out one another. And Hashem punished them as follows. Those that said, let us go up to the heavens and serve our own God, became monkeys and shinhavim, whatever that is. Those that said, let's go up to heaven and kill God with our arrows, so Hashem had them kill one another. And those that said, let's go up to heaven and fight God, so Hashem scattered them throughout the planet. So they didn't continue building. The building was over. And there was an earthquake, and a third of the tower was swallowed, and a heavenly fire came down and consumed another third. And the final third is still there today. So, the final third that's still above Earth, it's 3 days' journey. That third, I don't know if he's talking about the width or the height. He quotes another work that says that its height is like Tchum Shabbos, 4,000 feet high, and its width is 640 klaptir, whatever that is, and every brick is 2 shafnan wide, and its thickness is 1 shafnan, and from the top of the tower you could see out 20 parsa. Okay, whatever that is, 40 miles or something. And many people died. A large number of people died when this happened with the tower. And that's the time when Peleg died that year. Now, he brings a medrash here that says, Noach, Avram, and Shem were all involved in building the tower. So it seems like it wasn't so clear that this tower was for bad purposes. And this is something I heard as a child. But he has somewhere else here where he discusses where that could actually have happened. But okay, that's what he says. Noach, Avram, and Shem were supportive, and they helped in the building of the tower. Okay, so they continue.